Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So let's talk about the game, and I have to imagine that maybe somebody who worked on it might be listening to this, because who else is going to make a podcast about the cave? I don't think anyone else has done this to date, so this could be the only cave podcast out there. If so, I respect your work, but I didn't love this game. And we should probably talk about how the cave plays out. We touched upon it before. I want to really drill into it here. We can go over the broad strokes of the game design and then talk about our individual experiences, but you have 7 characters, and you choose a team of 3 from them. So an initial tutorial section teaches you how to play the game by you strategically deploy these characters separately in order to solve different puzzles. So this technically can be a co-op game. I think we would just hate the person you were playing with, but you have a team of 3 characters, and you switch them on the fly, and you have to control them separately in order to get everything in line you need to align for the sake of solving these puzzles.
I can't imagine playing this with someone else.
No, I didn't ask you for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, we could have tried it, but yeah. I think it would have been frustrating. But in my experience, at least, it felt like, to me, you didn't need 3 characters a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's because the way it works is every character has their own ability, and their own separate level is gated off by the use of that ability. So you can't get into it unless you have their ability. And then for most of that time, you are solving puzzles alone as that character in that environment. And eventually you throw a switch to the other characters in, and they can help you solve puzzles. And in fact, they need to. But for the most part, you're playing out these scenarios with just the character they're designed for.
Yeah, and the areas are so big. And it felt kind of tedious just walking around and trying to make sure everyone is grouped together. I mean, sometimes, mercifully, the game will like warp the other 2 characters
yes.
over at a certain point. But I couldn't tell at what points like they need to be separated and what points they should be bunched together. And I don't know, like it felt like a lot of these sections could have been done with just one character and an inventory system.
Yes, I agree. This is a problem in that this game reminds me a lot of games like Grim Fandango and Escape from Monkey Island, in that it's an adventure game, but the idea is, well, people are not going to want to click and point and steer a character around that way. You have to make it more modern, and that is what gets in the way of the puzzles that you want to engage with. There's this layer that you have to fight through in order just to access the puzzles that are enjoyable, that I think are well-designed for the most part.
And I don't know about you, but I rarely had to use some of the characters' special abilities.
Yes.
Like the monk especially.
I didn't play as the monk. That's the one character I didn't play as. Mm-hmm. But yes, most of the time it's like, okay, this character is just basically going to throw one switch. Or the scientist, I only used her hacking ability like within her own environment, or at least to access it. So mm-hmm. yeah, some of these abilities are not very useful. And yes, the reason why you are choosing 3 characters is they're going into the cave. You're going to the depths of the cave to find objects that each of these team members desires, and these treasures reference the darkest moments of their past. So it's like basically the item they sacrifice their morals for, that is what they're going in. In order to access that item, they're reenacting this dark moment where they sold themselves out.
But here's my problem with this.
Yeah.
I do like that idea that each character has their own cave, basically, that you go through to find out their backstory. But there's also these cave paintings throughout the entire game that you collect, which, by the way, I didn't realize until way too late that you don't have to use the corresponding character to collect the cave paintings.
Yeah, I think I may have missed a few early on because I thought, like, well, I don't want to bring this character up here, so I'm not going to grab
it. Yeah, like, say, with the adventurer, it would be an Ankh symbol on the cave. And you would assume, like, oh, you have to bring the adventurer over here to get her her backstory art piece, the cave painting.
Yeah.
But no, you can use any character, which also made me think, well, why couldn't I just can't this just be one character going through the cave then?
And also the icon isn't always immediately recognizable as belonging to that character because the Hillbilly's icon is a teddy bear.
Oh,
and when I saw a teddy bear, I thought like, well, I don't have the kids with me, so I'm not going to pick it up. But no, it's his icon.
Yeah, and the twins is they just have like two coffins.
Yeah, two coffins. Paintings. Yeah.
But like, so you collect those, you get like pictures that tell a story, their backstory. So by the time you get to the cave stories, the individual cave stories, I feel like I already know what happened to these characters. Because yeah. I've seen so many glimpses of their backstories.
They give away too much, I think, too early in the game. It should just kind of tease you. But, I mean, with the way these stories are told, you know what's going to happen by the time you see the first panel.
Because they're very obvious. Yeah, There's no twist to any of them.
Yeah.
Like, say, if one story is about, like, a character who's very jealous and wants to be the leader of some place, you'll see that they're just angry and jealous from the very beginning of the story.
Yes.
So you can kind of piece together what's going to happen.
Some adventure game characters are just jerks. And I think I think Ron Gilbert likes that idea. He likes the idea that like Guybrush is a jerk.
Oh yeah.
And you the player have to be a jerk in order to achieve Guybrush's goals. And I think because of that, in the non-character theme sections, the mine, the zoo, and the island, you are a complete jerk to these three NPCs who kind of rule over these territories. Like the mine guy, the hunter at the zoo, and the hermit on the island, which is definitely like a Monkey Island thing.
Well, it's basically Herman Toothrot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes this game so Ron Gilbert-y, because I think he has like... He doesn't have a mean streak, but I think he has a... What would you call it? Like a...
Playful?
Misanthropic? Like,
maybe a little misanthropic.
Yeah, like he doesn't believe in the good of other people or something.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but
I mean.
I think he finds it funny that as an adventure game hero, you must steal things, you must like, ruin people's lives, which is why like in Monkey Island 2, you steal Wally's eyepiece, right?
Yeah,
You blind a man, essentially.
Well, he calls himself Grumpy Gamer online.
Yeah, that's true.
We know he's grumpy, so there must be something about other people that annoys him, and maybe sometimes he wishes he could push them off a cliff.
He's always been nice to me.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Never grumpy at me. And yeah, oh, by the way, Nina, you did the cover art for Thimbleweed Park.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you didn't mention it. I think I should throw it out here.
Well, people can listen to her.
But not
Thimbleweed
the cave?
Park.
But not the cave. The relationship didn't start in 2012.
No, because I didn't know it existed.
That's true. Maybe if you did, I guess there is no cover art because there's no box for the cave.
What's the key art? It's just silhouettes of characters.
Yeah, it's not very good. I guess it's evocative of what it is. But it'd be great if there was like an original piece of art, maybe by that artist I mentioned earlier. That'd be great.
Mm. I think he likes silhouettes though, because I did silhouettes for the cover of Thimbleweed Park.
And I will say, I guess with the characters, their silhouettes do indicate who they are. They're all well-designed in terms of like silhouettes.
Yeah, they're all very, very distinct from each other.
Yeah. And we can go over the characters. We've only barely mentioned a few, and there are seven. So I'll go over them and their abilities in the game. So we have the knight, who uses a force field. The hillbilly, weirdly enough, who can hold his breath underwater for a very long time. Very Guybrushy of him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that's inherently hillbilly-ish, but hey, it's fun to have a hillbilly in a game. We have the monk, who can levitate objects. The time traveler can phase through walls. The scientist can hack terminals to open certain doors. And the adventurer has a grappling hook. And finally, the twins can leave behind a phantom form, mostly used to hold switches in place. Like, you pull a switch, and then you leave the phantom behind to keep the switch pulled, and then you go do other things.
Yeah, or like a pressure plate.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't work.
Oh, it doesn't work sometimes?
By that I mean, like, in some puzzles where you can't rely on them,
okay,
they miraculously like lose that ability.
Oh, okay, I didn't encounter this at all. But
by that I mean, like, not losing your ability entirely. It's just their phantom selves disappear way quicker.
Okay, so they design around that.
Yeah,
so I guess it was too overpowered.
And the monk, he has more like telekinesis powers.
Okay, so that just involves, what do you do? Like,
he
can move objects
with his mind.
Okay. But yeah, they all have different abilities, and they all have different stories. And but in the non-specific areas, like any character combination can get through them, because they're just designed for any of them. They're not dependent on their special abilities, and that means a lot of this is like pushing blocks, plugging fuses into place, pulling switches, like your traditional puzzle platformer mechanics. It's not very elevated in that sense, I think.